few nights ago, I was tucking in my 8-year-old for bed, and Hollis said to me, "Dad, you're preaching Sunday morning, Grace for the Children. You nervous?" And I said, "Well, maybe a little." She said, "Well, not as nervous as me, because I have to stand in front of the whole church, Dad, and sing 2 times. And I'm so proud of her and all of our kids for singing so well and practicing so hard to share those songs with us this morning. Incredible. What a special morning we've had. And just as a reminder, our pastor began this Grace for the Children service last year as a statement really to our world. It was meant to be a clear reminder that the church exists for an obvious reason, that we're here to protect our kids. We're here to steward our children, and whether you've been a parent for just a few moments or maybe several years, you get it and you see it. The culture is absolutely waging war on our kids. They're trying to fill their minds and hearts and lives with every lie and every corrupt thing. So I'm so thankful for this church, as I'm sure you are, the way it impacts our children and our families. Grace Church has been such a blessing. I'm confident, too, that it will continue to be a church that leads our little ones to the knowledge of Christ. And that's exactly what we're here to do this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to start making your way to Luke chapter 5. While you do that, I'm going to tell you a story about fishing. I loved fishing as a little kid growing up in the Midwest. I was just blessed to have a lake pretty close to our house, and 2 older brothers meant that we fished, you know, a lot. And we had a lot of fishing gear, poles and reels and a variety of lures and weights and anchors and bobbers and all that stuff. We had a tackle box, which didn't actually help us organize our gear very well, but it was all in there. And remember the smell of those plastic worms that we would use sometimes. It was pretty gross. And sometimes we would actually use real worms, and you know, that's maybe even a little bit worse. But we would fish, and we would fish all day, and it was so fun. We would have snacks, and we would sit under the shade, and sometimes we would go out in a little boat on that lake and fish. Of course, as brothers do, we would compete with each other to see who would catch the most fish. We always hoped to. Even just catch one fish sometimes would be amazing, but more often than not, we didn't catch much. But it didn't matter. We were out there fishing, and it was so fun. I think a lot of you can relate to my fishing experience. And before we get into our text this morning, we need to know that there are people fishing in this story too. But these fishermen, they had a very different experience. Their fishing, it wasn't that fun. Their fishing was very different. They didn't use poles, and they used nets, and those nets were big and heavy, and it wasn't relaxing at all. It was actually a back-breaking work to fish. I doubt they even had snacks. They didn't enjoy the shade or the breeze of a cool day. It's tough work. Simon Peter and his brother and their friends, they are the fishermen in our story this morning, and they fished for a job, for a living, and it mattered very much to them if they caught fish. Catching fish meant food to eat, and it meant money for life. Not catching fish, that was a bad thing. We need to know that these men would fish not during the day, but often at night. They would fish because that's when the fish were most active. They would fish where it wasn't so deep, because it's there that the fish were, and it was there that the fish were easiest to catch. because of the nets that they used. You see, they would cast out these huge nets, and as they would sink to the bottom, it would trap the fish, and someone in that boat would begin to pull it in. And as they did, it would enclose and trap the fish, and they would work hard to get that into the boat and empty its reward. And then they would do it again. And then they would do it again and again and again, casting that net, fishing all night, trying to catch as many fish as possible, night after night, week after week. And here's the thing, these fishermen, they knew how to fish. They didn't need anybody to teach them or show them. They knew what they were doing. And every morning when the sun would start to come up, they knew that the work was over. Night's work of fishing had come to an end, and they would park their boats on the beach and they would call it a day. And it would have been nice if they could have just gone home. But that wasn't the case. They had to take care of those nets first. It was cleanup duty. Time to clean up. And they'd have to get the nets out and clean them, and they'd have to wash them. And if there were holes or tears, they'd have to sew them and fix them and lay them out to dry. And maybe if they had had a good catch that night, they would have some fish, enjoy a breakfast fish taco or something. Well, they waited for the nets to dry and be put back together a certain way and put back into the boat so that they could fish again the next night. Cleanup duty was not fun. If your parents have ever asked you to clean your room, it's probably a lot like that. But worse, these guys had to do it every morning. As we come to Luke chapter 5, Simon Peter and his fishermen friends are engaged in cleanup duty. They're right in the middle of it, except the beach that morning was different than normal. It was far busier than it typically was. So let's find out why. Luke 5, verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him, that's Jesus, and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and they were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. Lesson from the boat this morning is to follow Jesus. When I preach in middle school, I often give a big idea, and that's really as simple as I can make it. Our big idea is to follow Jesus. And Peter and his fishermen friends, they chose to do that, and I want you to know that you should too. Why? Well, let's see what we can learn from their day in the boat with Jesus. And we'll look at this in two parts. The first, let's call it this: empty nets and Jesus, the really special teacher. empty nets and Jesus, the really special teacher. Verse 1 begins with this scene on the beach, and it's crowded, which is so normal for Jesus. A large crowd was pressed around him, it says, and Jesus was teaching the word of God. And if we go back to chapter 4, verse 43, it helps us understand exactly what Jesus was teaching. There, Jesus announced that he came to preach the kingdom of God, that he wanted to go to all the cities and proclaim this message. This was his purpose. So Jesus was teaching about God's kingdom, and he was teaching how to be in it. He was teaching about the good news that sinners could be forgiven from their sin, and you could be a part of God's kingdom. I'm sure he heard over and over, how can that be? How can we be a part of your kingdom, Jesus? And he would tell them, by believing in him, by believing in Jesus and turning away from your sin and following Christ the rest of your days. Jesus was teaching everywhere. Chapter 4 shows us that. He was teaching with great authority, and the Bible tells us he was performing miracles of all shapes and all sizes, and it was the miracles that so often attracted the people. It attracted the crowds from near and far, and there was often a large gathering of people around Jesus who were so desperate for his healing touch, so desperate to be around him that he might alleviate their trouble and their trial, and they came from everywhere to be healed by him. Often amazed as they waited for their turn, they would be amazed at what they heard him teach, amazed at the authority and clarity with which he explained the scriptures. And on the beach this particular morning, the crowd is a little too big. Jesus is running out of room. And verse 2 tells us that Jesus finds a solution. There on the edge of the lake were two boats, and they were empty. They belonged to the fishermen, and they were empty because fishermen were doing what they do at the end of their long night. They were on cleanup duty, washing the nets that they have used all night. And verse 3 tells us that he got into one of those boats, and it belonged to one of the fishermen named Simon. And Jesus asked him to put that boat out a little way into the water so that he could teach this large crowd from his boat. It's not that strange of a request, because Jesus and Simon aren't strangers. They actually already know each other. From, again, chapter 4, we read that Jesus was teaching in the synagogues all around Galilee. And he's teaching and he's preaching and healing, so much so that everyone's talking about Jesus. You see that in verse 14 of chapter 4. It says that the reports of Jesus went out throughout all the surrounding country. Jesus goes to Nazareth in verse 16. He goes to Capernaum in verse 31. And afterwards, we read in the Bible that Jesus went to Simon's house in verse 38. Now, of course, it's possible that Simon had been with Jesus that whole time, seen a lot of that, what Jesus was doing and teaching and how he was healing, seeing Jesus do some amazing things. But for sure, we know here in verses 38 through the end that Simon Peter got to see Jesus heal his mother-in-law of this nasty fever. And there in that little house, it didn't take long for word to spread around the community that Jesus was there, that he was at Simon's, and people came from everywhere. And they flooded that little house. Everyone from everywhere seemed to show up. And I love it because it says Jesus healed them all. Simon had quite the front row seat to the power of Jesus. He knew that there was something so special about Jesus. And now, sometime later, here is Jesus asking Simon if he could borrow his boat. He needs a place to preach. Of course, Simon is happy to oblige, happy to help Jesus. And we don't get the details of the message, just that when he was finished preaching, he asked Simon to do something that Well, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Verse 4, head to deep water and let down those nets for a catch. Sometimes I do wish the Bible would give us a little more detail about what people were thinking, or maybe some of the extra detail of what they said, but I'm not sure we need it here. I can imagine Simon's tone was one that was losing patience. I can imagine his frustration. Verse 5, Master, hold on a second. We worked all night. We've been out here and we have caught nothing. You can imagine what Simon was thinking. We are so done. We are so tired. It's been an awful night to catch nothing, to lose a night of sleep, to work that hard. And besides, we're already in cleanup duty mode. We already have started to wash and repair the nets that we used. But notice what it says in verse 5. It says, Simon is quick to say, but I will do what you say. At your word, I'll let down these nets. It's interesting because the writer makes sure that we notice that phrase, at your word, at the word of Jesus. Simon will do what I'm sure he wouldn't have done for anyone else on the planet. But this is Jesus asking. This isn't anyone. And this one that Simon saw heal his mother-in-law and countless others from sickness and disease and cast out demons and teach with such authority, such power on display. And it was amazing. And it was clear to Simon that Jesus was special. He saw Jesus do things that no one could do. He heard Jesus teach things that he had never heard before. And it amazed not just him, but everyone who heard. He also saw Jesus do things that no one would do. Peter's house just a few nights earlier, even though Jesus was tired and hungry, probably wanted to just go to bed for the night, Jesus put the needs of everyone else ahead of his own. There in Simon's house, it says he healed all night. Everyone who came to him, Jesus made sure that they got the help that they needed. He was special. Jesus was powerful. He was different. He was kind. He was compassionate. And at his command, at the word of Jesus, even though it's so strange and not the way to fish, he'll listen. Simon was willing to do what I'm sure was very frustrating to do, because he had already tried all night and failed. Didn't matter that a carpenter was telling a fisherman when and where to fish. Simon obeyed. At the word of Jesus, at your word, Jesus, Simon says, I'll obey. At your command, Jesus, I'll let down the nets. So Simon likely rowed to shore, got the nets that they needed, rowed back out into deep water, let them down for a catch. And boy, oh boy, I sure bet he was happy that he obeyed. Look at verse 6. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. This brings us to our second point this morning. No longer empty, but we'll call it this: full nets and Jesus the Lord. They caught so many fish. The net they used was about to break, about to lose all of them. And Simon had to signal the other fishermen to come help. And as they dragged them into the boat, they began to fill their boat. And I'm sure they were just laughing and overwhelmed and overjoyed. And then those boats started to sink. So much fish, hundreds of fish. It's almost more than the two boats could handle. It was definitely more than Simon could handle. The miracle catch of fish, it changed Simon. It helped him to see something much more clearly. Verse 8, seeing this catch of fish and immediately falling at Jesus' feet, Simon, he says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Jesus had been so actively ministering around Peter's world. He'd gotten to see it. He had gotten to experience it. But now it's Simon's turn to see the power of Jesus personally, at work in his world. Fishing is his world. And he gets to see something so clear, so obvious. Simon actually isn't the ultimate fisherman. Jesus is. This day on the lake, Simon wasn't able to catch a fish that whole night. But now here is Jesus catching more fish than maybe Simon had ever seen. And it's during the day. It's no wonder that Simon changes the word that he uses for Jesus. If Jesus really is the Lord of the fish, then we should call him Lord. And he does. From master in verse 5, Simon changes it to Lord in verse 8. Simon knew that Jesus was special, but now he knows Jesus isn't just some special teacher. Jesus is Lord. And Lord is a title that's being used in Luke's gospel, and it's only been used up until this point to refer to God, a divine title. And so now Simon knows something so clearly, so important and significant about Jesus. He is God. Seeing Jesus with this level of clarity allows Simon to see himself a little clearer as well. I am a sinner, Lord. He's ever more aware of his sinfulness. Go away, says Simon. Get away from me, Lord. Get away. I'm a sinful man. Of course, that might be a reaction that a lot of people have with Jesus. When you realize who he is, the Son of God, sinless and powerful, and the Lord of all creation. But Jesus didn't come just to make us aware of our sin and then abandon us. He didn't come to condemn us, but rather Jesus came to save us. And he came to call us to follow him. To follow. In Matthew's account of this very same story, Jesus does call Simon to follow him. Jesus was always telling people to follow him. That's the heart of being a disciple of Christ, of being a Christian. It's that we follow Jesus. Just a few chapters later here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Simon Peter doesn't quite know what he's saying here when he asks Jesus to go away. But as he followed Jesus from this point forward, he learned how important it is not to get away from Jesus or not to be sent away by Jesus, but actually the opposite. Simon needed to truly follow Christ, to follow Jesus, to learn from him and to listen to his word and to obey his instruction. He needed to learn to love Jesus above all else and to put Jesus first and to trust him with everything, no matter what. And Simon needed to learn something that we do as well. He needed to learn that following isn't a one-time thing. Following is an everyday thing. He needed to learn to do this every single day. That's following Jesus. Not too long from this day in the boat here, Simon, well, he would do something regrettable. He would do something that was so upsetting to him. Because he had committed to following Christ. He had committed to going with Jesus to the end, to do whatever Jesus instructed him to do. And as many of us know about Peter, he, out of embarrassment, out of fear for his life, he denied knowing Jesus. He rejected him rather than follow him. And it crushed him. He was so embarrassed and he was so upset at himself that he doesn't actually know what to do. And we can read about it in John chapter 21. It's like he's so lost that the only thing he can do is what he's always done, what he's always known. He tries to go back to fishing. John 21, and as we read his story, wouldn't you know it? It's almost identical to the first time he's with Jesus in that boat. It says, Simon Peter and his friends, they fish all night and they caught nothing. John 21 verse 4 says that as the sun started to come up, Jesus was on shore and yet they didn't recognize him. And Jesus asked the one question you don't want to be asked when you haven't caught any fish. Do you have any fish? And embarrassingly, and I'm sure angrily, they shout, no, please go away. We've caught nothing. In verse 6, listen to this. Jesus said to them, well, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. So John is the first to recognize that it's Jesus, and the first person he tells is Simon, although I'm pretty confident he was aware of who it was as well. Hard to forget that many fish. It says Simon threw himself into the water and he swam as hard as he could to Jesus. Couldn't wait to see him again. It's a little bit later in his life, so now he's spent some time with Christ. He knows how important it is, and he knows how much, so much better who Jesus was, that Jesus didn't only come to do miracles and heal diseases and help him catch record numbers of fish. No, Simon knows that Jesus came to save sinners from sin, and he knows that he came to save someone like him. He knows Jesus came to bring the gospel, the good news that sinners can be forgiven if they turn from their sin and they believe in Jesus. He knew Jesus went to the cross to prove it. He knew Jesus went to the cross to lay down his life to pay for sin, including his own. He has such a good understanding of it, and he knows that Jesus knows better than anyone how sinful we are, how sinful he was, and how much had to be paid for our sin. Nevertheless, he knew Jesus was offering salvation and calling people to follow him. And he couldn't wait to follow Jesus from that day forward. It's really what starts back in our story here in chapter 5. Simon Peter and his friends, that's what they end up doing. They follow Jesus the rest of their days. And Jesus tells Simon in verse 10 of Luke 5 to not be afraid, that from now on he'd be catching men, not fish. It's an interesting little phrase that Jesus uses. He'd be catching men for life or alive. And Simon's going to be repurposed by Jesus here. No more fishing. No more boats. Instead, he'll be preaching, and instead he'll be teaching others about the gospel. He'll be teaching them about what it is to follow Christ. Simon wouldn't need to fish anymore. Instead, he'll be catching men for life, to give them the life and the light of Christ. It's so good to follow Jesus. Verse 11 of Luke 5, when they returned to shore, Peter and I'm sure his brother Andrew's there, and his friends James and John, they don't need this fishing stuff anymore. And so they drop everything it says, and they obey Jesus. They followed him. The Bible tells us at least twice Simon gets to see this huge catch of fish. So much so that the nets were almost breaking. So many fish being hauled to shore because of Jesus. And I think it's on purpose that we get to read about Simon later in the book of Acts catching not fish, but record amounts of people as well. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 souls are converted. Acts chapter 4, later it's 5,000 people come to saving faith in Christ. What Jesus promised Simon Peter he would be doing, of course he did. Of course Jesus is trustworthy. Of course what he says comes to pass. So Jesus is able to help Simon learn here what matters most, to follow Jesus and to live for his purposes, which for Simon was to spread the gospel. Follow me, Jesus says, and he's still saying that to you and to me today. Jesus wants you to follow him, and he probably isn't going to fill your boat with fish the next time you go fishing. But it's amazing because he's given us his word, and through his word, similar to Simon, he's come into our world very personally. And he shows us who he is. He shows us that he's God. He shows us what he's like, that he loves us. He shows us that he's willing to go to the cross and pay for our sin. Through his word, he shows us how sinful that we are too. And we can learn, like Simon did, from Jesus, all those truths. But like Simon, we should learn that Jesus doesn't want us to be distanced from him. He doesn't want us to say to him, "Go away, Jesus." He wants us to learn the best truth. He wants us to know that he came to save us, and he calls us to follow him. Our pastor says this about following Jesus, and it's a great way to end our time this morning. He says, Jesus many times called people to follow him, and he always used the same word, and he used it in a way that those people knew he meant to keep following him. It's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. It's a daily thing again and again. I wake up this morning and I just need to follow Jesus today. This is our lesson from the boat this morning. Jesus wants you to follow him from this moment on in your life. Follow him, and you keep on following him tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the day after that. Who better to follow than Jesus? Who better to follow than the Son of God? Who better to follow than the Lord of all creation? He calls us to follow him no matter what happens, good or bad. Jesus says, just follow me. Father, thank you for this amazing story about your son. And we're so glad and grateful that he came to save us from our sin. How amazing that we can be invited into your kingdom. Jesus, that you invite us in and you invite us and call us to follow you. Father, we thank you for this weekend in the life of our church where we can embrace our responsibility that you give us to shepherd our kids. Lord, may we love our children like you do. May we teach them about you, and may we do that faithfully in the way that honors you most. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.